Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Dual Screens Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, it's Andy Asimakis. How are you doing, buddy?
Steve, I feel like I am looking at and talking to all of my cousins from Greece at the same time, even the female ones.
All of your cousins. Every one of them. Well, folks, this is going to be the biggest challenge of my hosting career.
I have so much faith in you.
And it's not really. Listen, we got ourselves a guest that's in Greece. Okay, so just keep me in your prayers today. All right. Joining us this week is Sotiris Giftopoulos.
Okay, perfect. Not bad. Not bad at all.
All right. Yeah. I've heard much worse.
Okay,
we'll take it.
I mean, it looks like Giftopoulos, so I'm going or Giftopoulos. I could go with that one too.
I am not sure which one is more correct in the accent, you know.
Sotiris, I don't know. Andy keeps saying it and I keep trying to write it down and phonetically and it's not working. Creator of RPG Stories, an online 3D world builder and a virtual tabletop that provides you with all the necessary tools to bring your tabletop RPG quests to life. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for taking the time to give us the opportunity for the exposition. Exciting stuff.
So give everybody some backstory here that don't know what. Well, hang on. I'm gonna start us off here because I kickstarted this program. Wow. Like that's kind of where I was introduced to it because I. All of the virtual tabletops that I'm used to are very 2D flat plane.
Yes.
And I saw this and I decided I need to back it. So why don't you tell everybody exactly what is a virtual tabletop? What and how does RPG Stories make it differentiate itself in the market?
Okay. RPG Stories is, like you said, like a virtual tabletop. Basically, we're trying to take the traditional tabletop games and give it another spin to, you know, by using the digital means, let's say. So you can start with some basic stuff. You know, there are already some software there that, you know, you can just make a board, put some tokens on it, and, you know, start playing around with it. But since we are talking about the most, we're targeting RPG, the genre of RPG games, right? So this year, these genres usually have like a very, you know, they have a very specific vision in mind that, you know, they need to describe a lot of things and visualize a lot of the things that the mind needs to see. So we want to take this, you know, like you said, most of the tabletop games, the virtual tabletop products that exist out there are like 2D. So we wanted to give it another layer to it. There are some applications that do this, but we wanted to make something that has a little bit more of a kit bash feel to it. You know, like kit bashing is like when you take a lot of stuff and, you know, combine it and make something new.
Yeah.
And make it sort of in between of like making it simple enough so, you know, a user that's not like a 3D engineer or designer, you know, can make something quick. So, you know, if you're like a basic map that's, you know, oh, you go in there into like a church and, you know, you put a few things and you have something ready to go. But also has the ability for the people that are, you know, want to really fine tune what they're seeing, what they want to make and, you know, the details all have to be correct to have that ability also. And that's how we started. That's how, you know, we started making some experiments. We saw that we could make something. And now, yes, like, you know, we went with a Kickstarter. It went really well. Thank you for backing us up and giving us Absolutely. The opportunity to do this. And yeah, I think this is what we're reaching to, like a tool that you can make interesting looking environments and that you can, and then that you will be able to play your favorite RPG stories. So this is now it just goes like this, your favorite RPGs into it.
There, kind of thing. I think the thing that really set it apart for me was, and Andy, this is something that will kind of spark your interest here. I mean, I'm a D&D player. Andy is not, but
okay. I'm getting there.
But the thing,
I'm slowly coming around to the idea. Slowly,
the thing that interested me in this is that you almost take this Sims approach to your drag and drop and your building of the world, and like that's incredibly intuitive to me, having just all these tools and being able to drag and drop to make the size of whatever you want to make, and then of course, one of the big things in virtual tabletops is sizing matters, scale matters. So you also have these built-in grids that you could turn on and turn off so you could understand the scale of your world. And you can, and the way it's kind of set up is as a DM, because I also DM a little bit, and I was kind of like building my little world that I've been imagining. Everything's in scenes, so it's very intuitive to just click between the scenes and have your party live in that world, and they get to maneuver in the world in a 3D space instead of just either an isometric or a top-down view. They get to actually experience it as if it's a 3D video game, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, that was kind of the idea, and all of this was from Agis, our CEO. He was the one who was like a DM for years, and it's like sort of like basically said, I want something that doesn't exist, and I'm going to go for it. And to be 100% honest, I haven't played a lot of D&D myself. Like, I knew about it, but you know, you have to find a DM master and get DM guy to bring you in. So, but I love building, you know, like survival games like No Man's Sky, Valheim, and all of these things that go and build something and has a functionality. So what you just said, that, you know, like it's D&D but has a little bit of a gaming vibe to it, was basically the me and Agis coming together, and like my vision and his vision coming together. Like, I wanted the scenes to look cool with a nice sky and fog and stuff like that. And I'm not done yet. I want to add much more, but we have other things in the pipeline. It's much more important. So, you know, that's how we both started, and that's how I got pulled into actually getting, you know, specific t-shirts and stuff like that, you know, getting into this, because it's cool, you know. It's if you find the right DM, because he will make the game you would like to play, and that's, you know, really can lift off your session.
I could give an example of like just a way to use your tools that are completely different. The world that I was creating was kind of like it's almost like a futuristic fantasy. So it was, you know, if magic kind of kept going and would be in, like, what would happen? Obviously, in my world, it would be a dystopian hellscape, because the corporations would be trying to mine whatever arcane resources they can. So, you know, it would be like that. So there's a scene,
I like it.
There's a scene that I created that was on, it was rooftops, and it had the party leaping from rooftops to rooftops of massive skyscrapers. And there's no massive skyscrapers, like, it's not something like that. So what I did was I found in the modern or the sci-fi sort of toolkit, I found like little like trash cans and like futuristic looking trash cans or futuristic little like batteries, and I just made them massive, turned them around and made them look like buildings, and I just hobpodged this whole city scape, and I was like, damn, that took me like 2 hours. That was it.
That's my favorite thing. The seeing people being so creative, like taking something, making it huge, applying a bunch of other, you know, like things onto it. It's basically like VFX artists back in the, you know, back in the day, like 70s and 80s. Like, we have to build a set in 1 hour, like Star Trek or something like that. And just take everything and make, you know.
Yeah.
This is how it feels sometimes. And one of the greatest things about this is like we have workshop support finally. Like we added it a few months back.
It is the best. The workshop is sent from heaven. Andy, the workshop is what people create. They could upload into the workshop and you could download it. And all people are way more creative than I can be. And it's amazing.
Accurate statement.
What they're able to put in there. I'm like, oh, you have an entire hospital bay. Great. I'm going to download that, and that's going to be my hospital.
And I'm going to add like a lamp in the corner.
Yes, I'm going to add now it's mine. IVs in the corner.
I would fuck with this. This is interesting. Look, I'm looking at the video right now, and I'm mesmerized by the amount of details you can add to a scene. It's just, I would just build shit all day long.
I think that's
for no purpose. I would just build shit.
It's like No Man's Sky. No Man's Sky has this issue. It's awesome to build bases, but they have no purpose. So instead of doing that there, you can do it in RPG stories, and the purpose would be that someone could use it for his story that's going to play afterwards. So, like, that's awesome on its own. And another good thing with the workshop stuff is like someone has made something completely crazy. You just think about it. You just get the model in there, just break it apart and see what has he done. And some people like can do really impressive stuff like that. Have you, like, anyway, there's a lot of examples out there. It's like this snail that has rocks in a whole house above.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what? When you see, like,
there was a giant turtle thing. There's a giant kraken that
I made the turtle thing, but you can see the difference between an artist and and a normal guy. You know, I just put some buildings there. He's put so many bushes that run down it.
Yeah,
this whole narrative with the details that he's added, kind of thing.
There was, you know, one of the things I was trying to do is I was trying to make a forest. I mean, a simple thing, right? And you have the ability to, like, just paint, and you could, like, just drag, and, like, all these trees will pop up. But I was like, I want this to be a dense forest. So I go in the workshop, and it's like modular forest model. I'm like, oh. And it's just like one click, and I put down like 500 trees. I'm like, this is freaking dope. Like, what, people just, it's great. But it, I mean, it is as intuitive as a Sims game. And I think that is something that is a really a good selling point. Now, I will admit, I haven't gotten into any of the actual tabletop game running aspects of anything. Like, I know that like you're slowly rolling out features and stuff like that. Like in the video that we're watching, you know, you'll see die rolling. You do have a quest log where you can actually write quest dialogue and stuff for your players to find. Explain a little bit about getting into actually running a game and what your aspirations are.
Well, first of all, like, the main thing that I'm working now, that's why I think the updates, basically we do 2 week sprints, and every 2 sprints we do an update. You know, it could be something small to an up, you know, some fixes, but regularly we upload content because we have a specific team for this. I've made all the tools so they can keep adding stuff all the time. So that's, you know, at the moment, you know, I am fully focusing on making it, you know, multiplayer, basically. And so that's why a lot of people haven't dove into this, because otherwise, you know, you kind of like have to do a screen share and stuff like that, which can be a lot of fun. You know, you just screen share your thing and, you know, just move things around. So, yeah, that's the thing that we're working on. It's a huge challenge, you know, a lot of unpredictable things in the way. But hopefully, you know, I don't know. I cannot say dates, you know, because of the predictable, you know, Murphy's Laws
we're
and
we're
stuff
not
like
expecting
that.
You to, you know,
one of the things that Aggie's brought into the table is like how you run this as a DM and how can this be a useful tool for me and stuff like that. So one of the main things is that you can have like a journal, so you know it has like tabs and an input editor, so you can put, you know, every environment has this thing which you can put more details about it and maybe, you know, whatever you need as a DM to quickly access these things, and sort of like not having the application there and having notes in your table and stuff. It's hopefully make it all self-contained. And then you have the ability to add the notes in the scene. So like, you know, if you have like a door, you want to remember something about the door, you have an item, you put it there. And this item won't be visible to the players that's going to join your game later. So they will not be aware of this. And hopefully as we progress and we finish the multiplayer stuff, you know, we want to add the ability to add notes to kind of like everything. You know, you select an item and put something there. Instead of having like a one feather note, add extra things that maybe even the players can find and stuff like that. So we're trying to add the little details there that will make it a little bit more interesting. Another thing that I'm trying to do at the moment, which seems it's why the whole network thing is a bit of a challenge, is to give the ability to the DM to continue building while you're playing the story. And that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, because if you need to improvise, like if the players do something you're not prepared for, sometimes you need to do something a little silly.
I mean, we were doing some playtests just by simple screen sharing before, and then you know, we're just testing it out, seeing what the user wants to do. And I think especially the DMs that are so used to the tool and, you know, they're doing stuff and they're fixing, it almost comes natural to them to just go, you know, okay, I'm going to add this. And we had this specific moment with one of our community moderators. He ran a game for us, Mr. Bear, as we call him. And he
That's
had
my
this
stage
specific
name, by the way.
Mr. Bear. Okay. You will have to find a new one if you come to our Discord. But he had this specific scene that we were like in a death valley or something like that. We met this ghost witch something, and she was like, "Oh, you gotta help me find my sister." He has an amazing voice as well. It was very chilling. And we're like, eh, you know what? We're not going to, I don't think we would like to do that. And then, you know, it's like, oh, okay, I see that sound. And then there was a bunch of mists around. And then he started adding mists around us slowly. And we're like, oh, no, 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 it's okay, it's okay. We were, you know, this visual feedback that I think started coming with the background, we're like, oh, okay. That was like, okay, this needs to be a thing. And because imagine the possibilities, you know, like having, okay, and then huge rocks came out of the ground and, you know, just picking an object, dragging it out, and then, you know, this would be animated to the other side of the user. That's something
right.
that, you know, I know it needs to happen. I don't know, you know, I have found the ways to do it, but it's like optimization and, you know, not data, you know, which is kind
of
complicated.
One of the things that I'm using, one of the ways that I'm using it right now, and you have a full, camera suite as well. And what I did was, because I do use other VTTs, you know, the DM that I play for, he uses Foundry. Using Roll20. And I just go top down view of the maps I make. I make sure that the grid is lined up, whatever, turn off the grid, take a picture of it. Drag that into another VTT and you could have this whole world that you designed built in that 2D, you know, for now, that's kind of like how I'm using it.
So a lot of people doing that, and it's exciting that they do this. I mean, the whole idea about RPG Stories and hopefully the ethos that's behind it's like about how you want to do your session. We want to give you the tools to make your best stories. You know, if you want to use another tool, that's, you know, we will improve that in the future. Hopefully, we'll be able to add. Because some of the software have like import export tools and stuff like that. So hopefully we'll be able to provide what you're exporting with more information so you can import it. Like it's one of the things we want to do. It's just a matter of time kind of thing. Using it for other applications, that's super fine. Like I'm hoping that people would not use it only for playing, but you know, to generate content, you know, like maybe it's like a dramatic scene and, you know, putting the camera with a lot of fog, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, I see a lot of streamers, they have like a nice intro. You know, if when we progress with the VTT and give more life to things, and they look a little bit, because now it's just like, oh, a scenery of leaves, you know, maybe have some characters running around, stuff like that. It could be good to, you know, export these things and use it as media, like any type of production.
That's where I'm at right now. I'm gonna buy this shit right now. You have no idea. Because it says it supports modern horror. What the hell does that mean? What is that?
So yeah, the main things. Yeah, we wanted to, you know, like you said, your futuristic idea. I like this. I'm more of a sci-fi guy. Ais is more of a fantasy guy. Chrisa, which our producer as well, is more of a modern era person. So we want to provide assets from all of these themes, eras, genres, whatever you want to call them. So you can make. You can make the fantasy stuff. That's where the more users are at. We can see that from the, we do polls every week of what people would like to add in the application in the future. And you know, all the fantasy people are like there waiting for the fantasy pack. But we also have a sci-fi and modern. We will populate more assets into that. So yeah, you can build a modern suburban city. We have some post-apocalyptic assets to make a little bit more, you know, like Last of Us.
Yes.
You know, this kind of era stuff.
That's so neat.
And we are a little bit behind on the sci-fi era, but I'm going to use my internal... I'm going to pull some strings in the team to make that happen because we need some more sci-fi. Yeah, we have like a lot of things like that, like cyberpunk cities. There's this awesome kit that's going to be allowing you to make spaceships. I call it the Astropack, but no one's voting for it. I'm just going to have to do it myself in my free time. just fix it, because I want to make spaceships. I love making spaceships. And it's funny how like we have a bunch of containers and some frames and stuff like that, and just people just go make spaceships out of that stuff.
Yeah,
and they work.
Yeah, you got. I think you got a DeLorean-looking thing in there that I downloaded
from
the
workshop,
and that was like all fitted up with like rockets and all this crazy stuff. I threw that in my game. I was like, yeah, that's dope. You got mechs. Yeah. You got, you know, full
mechs. Yeah, yeah. Now we have mechs and stuff.
I mean, you got a lot of stuff.
And
every time I open it up, I'm like, oh, I could use this in a completely different way that makes no sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. It's dope. You also play with lighting a lot. You know, you have a lot of lighting options that you can mess around with. And obviously that's going to be a lot more useful when you're actually running a game, because you want your players not to be able to see certain things and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's a kind of it's a bit of a challenge, the lights, because lights are awesome, but they have like a huge cost into the GPU. And we're using Unity, not Unreal. Unreal is much more like, you know, you can do a lot of stuff. But we're using Unity, and we're using the new stuff that's releasing, and we're going to update at some point that's going to be able to support more lights and have more dynamic features and stuff. So it's a matter of time we're going to be able to get around that, doing an extra pass or making the lights a little bit more, you know, satisfying and stuff. But yeah, lights going to be awesome. And one of the other things that we have at the moment is like fog of war tools that, you know, you can just like hide an area which looks, you know, you can barely see through it. And then, you know, the DM would be able to just go like delete that and then, you know, open up a new area. You know, you walk out. And also on top of that, we're going to add features like line of sight, which is so important for...
Yeah,
you know, the very specific EDMs will go crazy in the mathematical trigonometry calculations of what one person can see, what another person cannot see. So that's something also that we're going to add in the future. But yeah, all in good time, basically, because, you know, basically at the moment, I'm the only developer on it. So it's a little bit of a challenge to add all these things in there.
Well, what's the... when do you find time to play, Steven? I feel like this is like the amount of prep work into like setting up a campaign. And if this is a tool that is a part of that process, how do you even, is this why it takes like 6 months to like plan a session?
So
like, we're doing a thing. We're ready in 5 months from now.
It's all, well, the reason why the thing that you were going to be a part of was weird. It's because we were wrapping up a campaign that we've been playing for over a year. So like that needed to finish before we started the next thing.
Good
so,
Lord. A year.
Yeah. We've been playing that's... our campaign lasted over a year.
Is that what I should expect commitment wise, a year of my life to this?
This next campaign, we have been told that this can be a 2 year campaign.
Wow.
We're starting I mean, one, so.
It is, people I'll be playing, you know, the same characters for like, you know, half a century or something like that, you know.
That's like
they started the game
crazy.
Still continuing the thing. It's yes, actually it's one of these things that's so impressive about D&D, like, you know, a table of five people and then the DM will have sit down there and created so much content and quality content for a table session for other people, you know. TV shows don't put so much effort into some of the stuff they do.
Yeah,
it's insane. There's a passion behind it. It's remarkable. But yeah, it's funny because you can do, you know, you can do sessions like that, which is like years and years into making and developing, or you can do those things called one shots, which basically is like a 2-3 hour thing.
I'm familiar with this term. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
We're also playing around with the idea of doing shorter 12 episode seasons where everything has got a it's a contained little arc. But you know, it takes more for a DM to create multiples of those. If you have a group that meets every day or every week on the same day, then you could just play a longer, more interesting story and just kind of explore the characters and explore the development of it all. And you know, that's what's so cool about programs like this is, like, there are map builders, right? Like, there's Incarnate where you can make, like, world maps.
Really good
thing. And it's a really cool thing, but, you know, it's another thing that you need a subscription to. Your virtual tabletops, you need a subscription to. You know, like there's all these things. If you want your books, if you want like special or game content, you need to buy the digital versions in that virtual tabletop for that content. And so everything kind of winds up being pretty expensive from, you know, from a dungeon master perspective. And
yeah,
the thing that drew me to RPG stories also is that it has multiple utilities. Like I can use this in things that I'm already using, and I don't have to rely on other artists to make map tiles for me to drag into my game. If I think of something and I want something, it's very specific. I could go into this and drag and drop for like 20 minutes and make a really cool 3D version of what I was doing, turn it up, take the picture, drag it into, you know, my tabletop, and I'm good to go. And I can't wait. Like, I am so excited for when people can join my world in 3D and just move around the space. Even if like you can't roll in the game or keep track of your character sheets in the game, like that is like secondary to me. just being able to like see the world in that 3D space is an incredibly enticing aspect of the whole program.
It would give everything so much more purpose, that thing you were saying, like designing something and then having, you know, showing it to your friends, come on, let's explore this little world we did. That's so exciting. This is the next big milestone for us, of, you know, giving meaning to all of this, basically.
Yeah.
And then slowly, hopefully, not hopefully, but yeah, you know, we'll progress towards the point that, you know, we'll be able to add even more and more things. And like you said, the character sheets. And then, you know, hopefully one day we'll be able to do maps and stuff, you know, to a point, you know, maps is a whole nother science kind of thing. But yeah, like I said, the community aspect of this is what's really cool about it, because, you know, some people that make whole big maps, you know, like you just take them and bring them in. So, you know, if you're doing a campaign and, you know, like you said, you know, going there to buy some content and going somewhere else to find content, hopefully the community within will be able to supply what you need. And this is already happening, you know.
Yeah.
And we're trying to find collaborations with people that make stories, because it's really one of the things you can do by making a big campaign is, like, you know, these people that write books, like, it's a huge community out there making content. And, you know, you can buy these books that, you know, if you're making campaign, you can just, you know, pick things that you want to add to it, you know. And it's like, oh, like I want to make something for as well, and I want to use Agis's, he has a thing called the treasure, the Secrets of Avagada, which is his own little, you know, deserty Sahara exploration thing. So, you know, I just want to put some things into from this, his world, to bring it to my world kind of thing. And this is where I think all of this will come together. And we try to make affiliate programs so that, you know, if someone is making a new Kickstarter to get funded to make a new story, he will be able to, you know, we contact the people and try to make them, you know, they will also supply these files in RPG Stories. And there's a couple of collaborations that have occurred from that. So, and, you know, we are making stuff. So hopefully in a bit of time, there will be a huge library of things that you can use already. And, you know, just mix and match, bring things here and there, you know, hopefully, not hopefully, these things will be filled up with the content you need straight into there to help, you know, what you're doing. And, you know, the process of making a huge campaign won't be such a, you know, you will bring quality to it without being in such a huge ordeal, basically.
Before we log off here for this episode, I'm sorry, folks, it's a shorter episode. We have a hard out here on our end, and I had a ton of technical issues before we started, so I do apologize. But I do want to give a shout out to the community, the Discord community, and the community in general, because it is the most welcoming and kind and helpful Discord community I have ever been in. Like, period.
It's amazing.
There are some communities where you ask a question and they're like, this has been answered. Check the thing.
Check the FAQs, man.
Like, I'd be like, I popped in.
Noob.
And, you know, I was instantly overwhelmed by how many people are in the community. But I just asked a simple question, and I was like, I got like three people talking to me how they did it. And like, oh, you could do this, walk through this. Like, exactly my scenario. There was a bunch of people that knew exactly what to do. And then getting, you know, you on the show was through that as well. It was like, I'd love to. Here's what I do. You know, I do these interviews. I would love to have, you know, somebody on the team come in and chat and dope. Let's do it. And I'm like, cool.
So that's amazing. Yeah. So what you said there, just first of all, I'm going to give credits to Agis and Chrisa. I don't know how they did it, because I was in the background going, making the application. they were staying up for hours, days and days, and they managed to, you know, not only, you know, create a community that funded us, but also create the Discord people, the Discord channel, which is so welcoming. When I describe some technical stuff, people are like, no idea what you're talking about. This is how I feel about what they've done with our community kind of thing. And then we have to give shout out to, you know, some community members that have, like, I don't know what we would do without them, basically. It's like Mr. Bear, like I said before, and like Inubra, it's like they are always there, ready to fly, you know, give tips and help and moderate and stuff like that. And they do it out of the kindness of the heart, which is amazing. Their work is invaluable, and they help test the application as well, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, huge thanks to those guys. So then we have other members like Hobgoblin, Butler.
Hobgoblin.
You are a little bit active as well.
Yeah, I've been active in there, yeah. Hobgoblin and I go back and forth quite a bit.
Hobgoblin is another crazy member. It's like, oh, you want to fix this? Give me a few minutes, and he goes and fixes, you know, like he recently posted some lava flow things that someone needed. Here's the Discord link, the workshop links. Here you go, get them. And then it's just amazing. I wish I could be more active into the community. Lately, I've dived into the black hole of making the network thing.
Make the thing gooder.
That's your job.
Make the thing work. We'll take care of the community. Don't worry about it.
Perfect.
This is a good opportunity for them to get to know you a little bit as well. You know, get to see you speak and speak to the game. So hopefully, the community likes this interview, folks. If you like what you were listening to or viewing, please subscribe to us. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/dualscreensTV. And of course, you can get this podcast anywhere you find podcasts. So just tell your friends and type in the Dual Screens podcast. If you want to follow us on social media, we're at dual_screens. You go to dualscreens.com for all your Dual Screens needs. I'm BatChild27 on Twitter, and Andy's at PantsGuy. Now, where can everybody follow RPG Stories? Where can everybody buy RPG Stories?
All right. So we currently have an early access in Steam for the application if you want to get it. We have a Twitter page, which I don't remember out of heart. RPG Stories, I think it is. I'm sorry.
We'll give all the links. You'll find the links at the end.
But most the best thing I think you could do is come to our Discord and join us there, because it's a, like you said, a lovely community, and that's, if you want to find me, that's the best place to find me. I'm logged in all day almost, so if you need anything, you know, how can I do this and that, I'll try to get back to you.
Awesome.
And then finally, thanks to you guys for taking your Saturday time to present our ideas and our project.
Absolutely.
I cannot wait to fuck with this. You have no idea.
It's a lot of fun. I can't wait to see what you're going to do. How quickly you could throw something together. It really is.
Yeah, yeah.
Very.
That's going to bring us to the end of the show. Thank you, Andy. Thank you. Why did I just lose my... Did you say your name? Sorry.
Sotiris. Just call me Zotto. Zotto is the, you know, quick and easy.
My cameras got all messed up just now. There we go. Back to normal. Thank you so much. And thank you to our Patreon producer, Colton the Apprentice Nestler. We can't continue to grow without all your support. Just go to patreon.com/dualscreens. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, viewers. And as always, please be excellent.